The Boston Celtics closed out the Atlanta Hawks. Now we'll face off against the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference Finals. Oh yeah, the Knicks and Heat are also playing in a second round somewhat series. This is Hoop Talks. What is up, boys and girls, children of all ages and adults watching all across the world? This is Hoop Talks. I'm Justin Booney. It's an unhinged Friday today.
Yes.
Noor Zainab, Jelani Goodridge Reed. Guys, last night was the NFL draft.
Guys, unhinged.
The Maple Leafs played last night, but also the Boston Celtics made Janet Jackson wait an extra night because she postponed her thing because they beat the Atlanta Hawks, closed them out last night at State Farm Arena 128-120. The Killer Jays balled out. Jason Tatum had 30 points, 11 of 20 shooting, had 4 3-pointers. Jaylen Brown had 32 points, 13 of 25 from the field, and had 6 3-pointers. Marcus Smart chipped in with 22, and Malcolm Brogdon had 17 off the bench. Trae Young did have a very impressive game, 30 points. DeJounte Murray chipped in with 14, but guys, it is now curtains. It is over for the Atlanta Hawks. Noor, let me start off with you because you are the Celtics bandwagon fan of the crew.
Bandwagon. Let's chill.
What did you make of Boston closing it out last night? It was kind of close at points, right?
Yeah.
But putting their foot down, closing it out, and now moving on to face Philadelphia.
They were definitely playing with their food for a little bit. There was a lot of defensive adjustments that needed to be made in the first half, and I'm glad to see that they did make that in the second half. They found out a way to neutralize Trae Young completely. He had 25 points in the first half. I think he had 9 in the second half, so they found a way to quiet him down. DeJounte Murray did wake up a little bit in the second half, but I think it comes down to, again, the Hawks just didn't have enough help around Trae Young, even though John Collins balled out. I love seeing him kind of almost just like pump his chest to the crowd. You know, dealing with all those trade rumors before, I really like to see him feel like he's part of the team. But I think the Celtics just showed the experience, and it really came through towards the very end. It was definitely close, and it seemed like they might make this a series. They already kind of had. But the Celtics still were just like, towards the very end, a championship team or the one that wants to win one is very close to it, figures out how to win a game. And that's exactly what they did.
Jelani, I want to talk to you about from the Atlanta perspective, because when you look at the box score, right, the Atlanta starting five was respectively minus 8, minus 15, minus 13, minus 11, and minus 13. So that's a whole lot of buckets they're giving up.
Yeah.
When you look at the Atlanta Hawks, right, they have Trae Young, of course, who had all these rumors swirling around about his future in Atlanta. DeJounte Murray, you know, it didn't really mesh that well. DeAndre Hunter, who I think has the skill set to be a really good player in the NBA but can never seem to put it together. As Noor mentioned, John Collins is always in trade rumors. He never really has felt a stable in Atlanta. Where do the Hawks go from here now that they had – look, they won a game or two more than a lot of people expected them, but – again, another disappointing season for Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, I want to see what they do in terms of surrounding talent around Trae Young. Obviously, that's how you're going to be a player in the Eastern Conference, right? And you got a new coach now. Remember that, too. So what does Quinn Snyder want? What does he want his team to look like? You saw the teams that he coached in Utah. Usually, they had good benches. So I think that – and he had shooters. Mm-hmm. So I think with the shooting, they might want to get more of that in Atlanta, because we saw at times it wasn't there aside from outside of Trae Young, obviously. So they might want to, you know, key in on that. And then defensively, I think defense has to be a real focus for Atlanta, because at times throughout this series, right, I get it, like those are stars, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, but at times they just had really bad stretches in terms of covering those guys and dealing with other guys, you know, like Horford, they let him have open looks. Smart, he got going at times this series. Derek White. So they're going to have to really key in on those two areas. I'd probably say look more for defense, because we know what they could do offensively. The past few years, they've had, you know, somewhat of, you know, a powerful offense at times. But the defense has been the question at Atlanta. So that might be the question, you know, moving forward. Can they solidify their bench in terms of defense and even their starting lineup too?
No, it's very true. Because even I know Trae Young's like 5'3", but he needs to play a little bit of defense. Watching him on the defensive end,
he's not
5'3",
but
you know what I'm saying.
You're speaking hyperbolic.
You know
terms.
What I'm saying.
So I'm just clarifying for people out there that don't.
I think they also understand that I'm speaking in jokes.
You'd be surprised about how.
Okay, next. smart people are online. I just want to put a disclaimer out for my joke, guys. Sorry. Okay, I'll keep you guys posted. But I think it's watching him on defense, I get it. He's a short guy. Maybe he's not going to be able to stop the biggest guys on the court. But at least put the effort in. At least show your team that you're willing to play on both ends, even if you get stomped over, whatever. But it's the effort part. And maybe you'll end up drawing a charge. You never know. Him watching everybody run past him has been – he's great offensively, but you got to do something defensively too.
It's going to be interesting. Landry Fields and the Atlanta Hawks will have a bunch of questions going into this offseason that will need to be answered. Again, yep. Coaching staff, Quinn Snyder is now the guy. But how do they fill out that roster and they build around them? Let's go to the Eastern Conference Finals preview between the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, look, for those of you out there, I'm joking.
Yes.
I think this is the Eastern
Conference
Finals.
Another disclaimer.
A disclaimer for all you people out there that think that, what is this guy talking about? He doesn't know basketball. Well, I'm just joking around, okay?
Be secure in yourself.
The Sixers will look to win their first playoff series since when? Do you guys want to know the answer?
I do.
Take a guess. I want to ask.
I know.
When was the last time the Sixers beat the Celtics in a playoff series?
I think it's been like 10 years, 11 years.
Sorry. Why was I was thinking the question was about the last time they were in the conference finals.
The last time the Sixers
beat the Celtics in a series?
They've played the most out of any Eastern Conference team together.
I'd say had to be a couple years ago.
The last time the Sixers beat the Celtics?
No. I'm gonna go with like 20.
I think never. Almost
2011 or something.
2011,
like early. 2010.
I said 11 years.
The Sixers will seek to win their first playoff series over the Celtics in 41 years.
Damn.
The year was 1982, and that was the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, guys.
Never mind.
Joel Embiid's health status. Yeah. Joel Embiid's health status is the biggest concern for me. Of course, he has a sprained LCL. Suffered that in Game 3 in the series against Brooklyn. Mm. How big, Noor, is Joel Embiid's health play? What big of the factors of Embiid's health play in this series? Excuse me.
It's everything, and it's not just everything because I don't trust the people around him. I think Tyrese Maxey, I think even Tobias Harris, those guys have the ability to come through, and we've seen that happen while Joel Embiid was away, where you saw Tobias Harris come through and really take that lead offensively. But I think I'm worried about even the spacing then, because mm-hmm. if Embiid's not there and he's not healthy, or if he's not even up to par for his level, you no longer have that distraction for the defense for the opposite side, where it's you see James Harden open, you see Tyrese Maxey open, you see the offense being able to be spaced out. And without Embiid there, good luck. That's going to be tough for Philly. Actually, this is also a crazy series because it's like two teams that no one wants to cheer for. I mean, count me out of
that. Whoa.
That's true. No one likes
you. Philly and
Embiid's going to be crowned the MVP of the season.
Hate Philly more than they hate the Celtics nowadays.
I don't know. Of people hate the Celtics.
I know,
plenty.
But I guess.
Like, Jaylen Brown hates the Celtics. And he's on the Celtics.
Damn. trust me. A lot of people don't like Boston. So I don't know.
Who would you rather, Boston or Philly?
Well, like, you're asking me my prediction?
Yeah, give me your
prediction.
Oh,
you would like?
Well, hold off on the prediction. Hold on.
Let me hold off.
Who you would like to?
Hold off. Okay. There's a schedule here that we're trying to.
There's a rundown.
There's a rundown here, Jelani. I want to ask you this. I think the biggest matchup is this. It's going to be Tyrese Maxey, James Harden versus Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. That right there is the key. Can Tyrese Maxey and James Harden not equal what the Killer Jays will do, but can they come close to it? And I think that will determine the series. How do you see that matchup playing out?
I was about to bring that up, right? So you have that Embiid thing, right? I get that, but I'm looking at James Harden this series. He's one of my favorite players to watch for sure, but I know what I get from him come playoff time. I know he's not the same James Harden from Houston, so we're not going to expect all that, but especially if Embiid's not 100% healthy, he's got to show up offensively, okay? Yeah. If that's the perimeter, he has to hit shots from down there. He might want to get in the paint as well because, you know, against Brooklyn, he kind of struggled getting to the paint and finishing, okay? So he's going to need to do that for sure against a team like Boston who got guys that could deal with Harden, right? And then you're talking about Tyrese Maxey. I think he's definitely the X factor in this series. We know what he's capable of, right? Look, I'm a Raptors fan. I know what he did to us last year, right? So I know what he's capable of, but at the same time, 4 games against Boston this year, he really struggled, okay? He only put up 10 points, all right? He was only 35% from the field. He was 21% from downtown. He's got to find a way to show up this series. I get it. He's going to have to deal with guys like Derek White, like Marcus Smart, okay, like Jaylen Brown. Those guys are going to be on him. But if you're telling me that the Sixers want to win this series, those are two guys you have to look at, especially Tyrese Maxey. James Harden, I do trust in this series. I think he knows, right? He knows that if he can be him, if he could be capable of that all-star caliber player, I felt like he was an all-star this year in my mm-hmm. estimation. If he's that, then they have a better shot. But Tyrese Maxey, he's a young guy. He's a younger player. So he's going to have to show up in this big moment.
Okay, guys. Now's the time we all been waiting for. Prediction time. Noor?
Oh, we know.
Who wins this series? How many games? And
I'm taking the Celtics.
No way.
And
no
Celtics
way.
Celtics in what?
Celtics in six.
Okay.
Celtics in six. I think they just have a deeper roster. They've got everything put together. It did scare me a little bit when they went up against the Hawks and they kind of were playing around, but right. I think they can do this here.
Who was your finals pick again?
The Bucks.
And?
No comment.
Okay.
It's too soon.
So take any stock into that prediction as you want, Jelani.
Shut
your prediction?
It's okay. The team I thought was the Bucks winning the Easter out. I got the Celtics in this series in seven games. Okay. The one thing real quick, coaching matchup. Mazzulla has to show up here. There's no excuse for Coach Mazzulla.
I mean, he's going up against Doc Rivers.
And
that's the thing, yeah.
I'm going to be going with the Philadelphia.
Shocker! Shocker!
Joel Embiid is the MVP. He will break through and go to the conference finals. Now, quickly, before we have to finish, let's go to the other series in the East, which, again, it actually might be a better basketball, all the storylines. The New York Knicks, their electric crowd,
yes.
face off against Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat. Guys, quickly, name me one player who's really going to be the key to this series for each team, and then give me your prediction.
Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, also because he loves to play at when the lights are the brightest. And where are the lights that are the brightest, Jelani?
Madison Square Garden.
There Mecca. We go. Who goes at Madison Square Garden actually should be a... It should be a flaw for the Knicks because players go there to have a big night. Opposite.
A flaw?
A flaw?
Yeah, like it shouldn't even be like a home court advantage for them because you know
what
I mean?
See that crowd?
Players, but listen to what I'm saying. Players go there to have big nights. They want to go and show off in Madison Square Garden at the Mecca.
Ah, damn.
Okay, relax.
Too soon. I'm looking at Bam Adebayo, okay? He showed up in that do or die game for the Bucks. You know, obviously they didn't show up. But Bam showed up in that game five, okay? He gave you that triple-double. And even game one, he had a nice game. He had like 20-plus, 7-9. So if Bam Adebayo could show up here, he's going to have to deal with guys like Mitchell Robinson on the other side who had a great series against the Cavs. I'm looking at him, and it cannot just be Jimmy Butler. I know it's usually just Jimmy, but if you got a guy like Bam has a good series, they have a much better opportunity to win this series.
You know the Pop Smoke song, I'm the King of New York, Melo?
Yes.
Right? The King of New York is now going to be Jalen Brunson because he's the key to this series. Jalen Brunson has been an all-star all season. I'm going to push that agenda. Jalen Brunson will lead the New York Knicks to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Guys.
Game 7. At the Garden, Jalen Brunson leads the New York Knicks to their first Eastern Conference Finals since 1999.
Jeez.
Well, the NBA has been making people look stupid this playoff, so let's see what we see how we come to.
What was your prediction in that series?
Heat? I said Heat. Oh, I said I'm gonna say Heat in six as well.
Heat in six.
Heat in six or seven.
Okay.
Jimmy's one of my favorite players in this league. I can't go against him, but I will. Knicks in seven.
These two share a brain. I'm the one who brings a different type of flavor to Hoop Talks.
Yeah, Knicks in seven.
Oh, you said Knicks.
Do you
what are you talking about? I said Jimmy's one of my favorite players, but I have to use my mind here. The Knicks have a good squad.
As a host, you got to listen. You got to listen.
Knicks in seven.
My bad. You know, it's my world. My block, my world.
Wrap up the show.
My interpretation.
Well, that was a rough ending. Let's see what happens in the world of basketball and starting the second round. This has been Hoop Talks. Maybe you'll see me back on Monday.
What in the world happened in Wisconsin the other night? And tonight, we have two really good games, so y'all better be watching. Let's talk about it here on Hoop Talks. Welcome in, guys. Welcome in. I'm Jelani Goodridge-Reed, along with Noor Zainab. That is Miss Raptors Twitter to y'all. And we have Justin, not Timberlake, not Bieber.
Better.
But Pooney. Okay, so guys, we have an issue that happened not too long ago, right? We all had the Bucks I believe, winning the NBA title.
Yes.
And it was all for naught. It was all for naught. They did not show up in those final two games. They had double digit leads in game 4 and game 5, and they dropped the series. One of the biggest upsets maybe ever, okay, in NBA history. The Miami Heat move on to play the Knicks. So guys, I want to know, you know, after the comments the other night, you guys obviously saw it with Giannis and talking about the failure. Was it a failure? I want to give it to Justin first.
Well, first of all, what Giannis said is very relatable in life. I think Giannis dropped a bar there. And every time Giannis talks, actually, you know, I just grow more admiration and respect for him, because what he said is true, right? Like, we work every day to reach the ultimate goal. We're not going to get there right away. And you got to enjoy the process and the journey to get to the end goal, right? And I think when you think about it, when they won that title, right? Yeah, the moment they won was great. But I think what made it even sweeter was the years of failure, whether it was against Toronto, Miami, the years previous to that, right? When you reach the mountaintop, you respect the journey more. And I think that's what Giannis was getting at. And I think that was the most, you know, important part of what he said. Now, with that being said, they were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference and they lost to an 8th seed. Now, this 8th seed, of course, was the Miami Heat, and Jimmy Butler played unbelievable basketball. Yeah. Unbelievable basketball. They shot the ball way better from 3-point range than they did all season long. And nobody could have predicted that. Giannis did get hurt, missed 2 games. I only played like 6 minutes in game 1 as well. So that played a factor in it. But yeah, the Bucks need to go younger. They need to, I'd probably try to move off Chris Middleton. I'd probably try to build around Giannis and Drew Holiday. Everybody else could be on the block. Because look, you have the best player on planet Earth. You want to maximize that ability, that, you know, period of time he will be the best player on planet Earth. And you want to win more titles, right? And I think Giannis will win another title, maybe 2, right? But they have to reboot. And honestly, maybe you got to fire Coach Bud. Right.
Yeah.
No, coaching mistakes and stuff like that, and bring in maybe Nick Nurse.
Yeah.
Nick
no, Nurse? I was gonna ask. Nick I was Nurse? Gonna ask. Nick Nurse? Do you agree with that? Like, Coach Bud, he's been talked about a bunch, right? He has Coach of the Year, you know, trophies exactly. in his house right now. But the problem is, you know, if you're looking at the Bucks outside of that championship year, they've had playoff failures time and time again, right? And includes a first round exit as well. And then when you're looking at it this year, they had a top 3 MVP candidate. They had 3 guys in the top 8 in terms of defensive player of the year, candidates. And then you're having a top 5 defense not show up in the playoffs. So does Coach Bud hold a lot of this blame?
I think before you even sell off assets like Chris Middleton, before you even think about rebuilding something around Giannis and Drew Holiday, you get rid of the coach. Budenholzer, for me, has been a big problem for this Bucks team. And we also saw that being exploited by Nick Nurse when we faced them. He does not adjust. He does not know how to adjust. And as a coach, adjustment needs to be your bread and butter. And this is what happens in a series of 7. When someone else is coaching against your game plan, it's very easy to figure it out because you have a plethora of games to go back and learn from. In the regular season, it's very different. You're playing different teams every single night. You're able to do whatever you want to do, and you're able to get those wins because no one's really playing for your game plan. But in a series now, when you have 7 games put together, their entire job on that coaching end to stop your game plans. And that's what I think Coach does not do over there. Even, let's look at the last minute of the game. Gave the ball to Grayson Allen. Grayson Allen is running your offense late game where you're about to be eliminated. You have 2 timeouts left. You didn't call one? You didn't call one timeout?
That was crazy to me. The fact that you had 2 timeouts, you didn't advance the ball.
One timeout.
And look, I know there was 0.5 seconds left, but you still got to advance it. You need to do something.
We've seen
crazier things. Remember Jay Crowder and that lob to Ayton?
Ayton in the finals.
Yeah, it's in the, I think it was the conference finals.
Yeah.
Clips, but remember, it's possible you can score with 0.5. So I could see your point there and just want to ask you, was it a failure, like, in your estimation?
I agree with Justin where, like, I think it comes down to what you view your life as, right? Like, it comes down to what does failure mean to you? And Giannis has time and time and time again showed everybody out there he's not your typical superstar. I don't know why we keep expecting him to be. He's not the same guy as LeBron, as Kobe, as MJ. His mentality is very different. He wants to win, but he doesn't value winning the way that other people value winning. He understands the other parts of life. Like, I'm not in terms of like he doesn't want to win, but I mean, like, you know how people come on the court, like you have guys like MJ and stuff, and they have that killer mentality. Of course, Giannis has that too, but I think he really tethers on the life side of his things too. And that's what makes him a little bit more relatable, because you're seeing the human version of it. You're not only seeing the athlete part of him.
He has perspective. He puts into perspective, right? Where you look at like guys like Kobe and Jordan, where they had that like tunnel vision almost.
Exactly.
Right? Like they just, if I didn't win, I would have failed. I don't care how many points I score. I don't care if I averaged 35. I don't care what I did. Right. If I didn't win, that was a failure, right? But those two guys are probably the two most competitive guys the NBA has ever seen, right? And Giannis, again, absolutely, he wants to stack championships up, but he's able. Look where he's come from, right? Yeah. That puts into perspective, and a different perspective that might a lot of people might not notice. And I think that's kind of what separates him from other superstars we've seen in the NBA.
Well, with that being, go ahead.
With that being said, though,
I still think he needs to work on his game.
Yeah, of course.
That mid range needs to come in through at some point.
Throws.
You can't. Let's not even talk about the free throws.
Yeah.
Let's not even go down there. We, as a Raptor fans, know what it feels like to lose a game because of free throws.
I do.
They were leading 16 points in the fourth quarter, and they lost because of free throws. I think as a team, they made what? Like 28 out of 45 free throws, 62% from the line. Giannis himself had 10 out of 23 free throws. You hit five of them, you win the game.
That's at home too, right? In a do or die game, elimination game. But guys, real quick before we move on to the games tonight, I want to say it was a failure. I think it was, because you're talking about a team that everyone had going to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, right? Everyone had them in the finals or winning the finals.
You're talking about Kevin Durant on the all time list.
Yeah, like there's so many people out here that had the Bucks winning. And you're looking at just a few teams every year could win a championship. Like, let's be realistic here, right? And the Bucks were one of those teams.
Yeah.
And I get it. Giannis, he missed some time, actually a chunk of this series. But yet again, if you're talking about game four, why did you lose that game? Right? You can't lose that game. The way you were up, especially. And you again, going to Coach Bud as well. No adjustments. You don't want to double team Jimmy Butler? Okay. Then game five. Again, you're at home, a place where you barely lose this season, and then you fumble like that. I think they're Fraud Watch representatives. I really do. They're a part of the committee, and that's really bad. If you're a part of the committee, that's really bad. Okay. This was not, and this is a team, a one man show. You're gonna lose to a one man show on your home court when you have one of the best.
But that one man
in the
playoffs is.
I know he's
else.
Different. He's different. But you're talking about what's around him, right?
Yeah.
Older Kevin Love, an older Kyle Lowry showed up. Right, Bam, he played a good game. Gabe Vincent, really, he those are guys that beat you.
Yeah.
You can't have that happen as a heavy favorite. So that's why I think, personally, it's a failure. When you don't win a championship as a real contender, it's a failure, in my estimation, in my opinion.
And guys, Giannis said he would want it to guard Jimmy Butler more.
So
he was putting...
I think you should override
in a body bag.
I think you should override because he does defer to Coach Bud, but at times you got to override it.
He said the same thing.
Jimmy Butler overrided what Spoelstra said. Spoelstra wanted somebody else to hit that game winner.
I think Budenholzer is gone. I don't see him staying whatsoever. Because the one guy you're going to change is going to be Budenholzer. He doesn't have a good tracker with this team whatsoever. They're what, second round exits besides that one year they made the championship?
Conference finals, though.
I've always said... that Budenholzer is just, he's gassed up because he won that one championship.
Yeah.
Aside from that, he hasn't done anything. Please. And Atlanta, remember all those days in Atlanta? Good teams. They didn't do anything. So let's move on. Let's move on real quick before we end off the show. Okay, we have two games tonight, two big games tonight. The Lakers and Memphis. Real quick on this game, LeBron had, you know, not a LeBron-type game. He had a good game, though. 15, 10, and 5. Not for LeBron.
Not for LeBron standards.
So, Justin, do you expect LeBron to have a real good performance tonight, or do you think that Memphis will get him again?
The King will, you know, reclaim his crown tonight.
Okay.
And they're going to close with the Memphis Grizzlies tonight.
Okay.
It's simple as that. Look, Anthony Davis, whether he shows up or not, is irrelevant, because who knows what Anthony Davis you're going to get on what day. But I do know tonight, Friday, April 28th, LeBron James will end the Memphis Grizzlies. Send Dylan Brooks home.
Uh-oh.
Send John Morant home. Send T. Morant home. Right? And he will dap up Shannon Sharpe at the end of the game.
Noor, who you got tonight?
LeBron.
Oh,
thank you.
Wow, she has LeBron James. That's a shock.
Listen, this is a very easy pick against the Grizzlies than Dylan Brooks. You kind of want LeBron James and Lakers to win. And this new team that they found that actually gives them help beyond the starting five. Right. So I like this for the Lakers.
Okay, and Kennard also had a little stinger with that shoulder. So that's something to monitor. Doubtful right now. And then as for the Sacramento Kings, Golden State Warriors, what a series this has been. Who you got tonight, guys? This is going to be an interesting one because the question is, does Golden State close it out, Justin?
It's De'Aaron Fox's health to me with the broken finger. And now, again, he's playing through it, which, again, not a lot of NBA players play through injuries. Yeah. Credit to De'Aaron Fox for playing.
Is that a stab at somebody?
Who?
Never mind. Continue.
I thought about Kawhi.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, relax.
Defender of Kawhi right here. Yes, exactly.
Defender of the Kawhi Leonard.
Yes. Not everything revolves around
the
you.
The Clippers.
And the Clippers.
Or the Raptors.
Continue. Who's talking about the Raptors? Raptors have been out for a couple weeks now, no?
Don't remind me.
Anyway, look, what De'Aaron Fox has been doing is nuts this series. But I think at the Chase Center, it's going to be electric. Steph's going to be, doing his thing. Klay's been playing well. Wiggins has been playing very well since, missing the entire second half of the season pretty much. The Dubs do it, man. And set up LeBron versus Steph.
Need
West
it.
Edition.
Need it.
NBA Finals edition.
Nor? Thoughts?
Going with that one too. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Warriors. I think it's time. As Justin said, the De'Aaron Fox thing is a little bit iffy for me, and they're going to be at home. Draymond Green the other night had 21 points. If he's going to do that again tonight, it's going to be an easy wrap for them.
I got the dubs. They're at home. I believe in my guy, Stephen Curry. Curry's going to show you guys who he really is. And yes, we're going to get part 5 of LeBron and Steph. We need it. The culture needs it, okay? But tonight, make sure you're watching these games. Do not go on Netflix. Do not go on Disney Plus. Make sure you're watching these games. We will see you next time.
New development in the Raptors world. We talk about Kenny Atkinson and Becky Hammon topping Masai's search. Welcome to Hoop Talks. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Noor Zainab, Jelani Goodridge-Reed, Justin Pooney. And as I said, we got the latest developments from Woj himself. The Toronto Raptors have cast a wide net looking for their next coach. And some names have really stood out to us in Becky Hammon and Kenny Atkinson. There's a couple assistant coaches from the Milwaukee Bucks and also the Phoenix Suns. Some Spurs sprinkled over there as well. But the ones that I think has really caught everybody's eyes is the woman behind me. Right over here, Miss Becky Hammon, the coach of the defending WNBA champions, the Las Vegas Aces, who somehow has given her permission to go and speak to Masai.
Is that a Raptors logo on her jacket?
Yeah, I put it on myself. Can we get that behind me? Yeah, right here. I put that. Oh, no, wrong way.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
I put that on myself.
Nice touch.
I'm manifesting this happening,
nice
you know?
Touch.
I got you. Don't you worry about it. But
damn.
I want
Photoshop. Real Photoshop it right here.
I want to go back to my question, guys. Please and thank you. All right, I got my stuff falling off everywhere, but
she's so excited. She's excited.
I'm so excited. Part of the manifestation ritual and bringing Ben Beckingham in here.
What a ritual!
But this is what's crazy to me is the Las Vegas Aces actually gave her permission to speak to Masai Ujiri. So why would the Aces do this to her?
You asking me? I don't know. I'm surprised too. I'm surprised they just won a chip. And they're a whole new culture there in Vegas.
Super
and they
team?
Have a super team. Yeah. They have some, ballers on that squad. So they obviously don't want to lose her, obviously, after winning a championship and trying to defend that title. But at the same time, I think they see, there might be an opportunity for her to break a barrier here.
Yeah,
right?
And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I'm assuming when she signed her new deal with the Aces, right, when she came in, it was an understanding that if NBA opportunities came up, she would be able to pursue them,
yeah.
Right? And I think that's exactly what probably happened, right? She probably always wanted, because, look, she was an assistant with the Spurs for how many years, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had opportunities before, and I guess when she went to the Aces to, coach and become a championship coach there, she always wanted in the back of her mind to be able to go back and explore her NBA options that she's getting that opportunity right now.
And I love that. I think this is someone that the Raptors could so greatly benefit from because we already know about her defensive adjustments, everything that she can do.
Yeah.
She created the zone in the WNBA, which the Liberty followed a little bit afterwards. We see you copying her. But I am a little bit concerned about her even coming on with the Raptors. Look at where she is right now. She's coaching the defending WNBA champion. She's got She's got Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, Chelsea Gray, everybody on her side who's already established a team. They know their roles. They're a winning championship team, right? She's her first year there. She won Coach of the Year, got them the best record in the WNBA, also won Commissioner's Cup. And she was just what she did was not even surprising for people because of what she can do. But my thing is she going to want to now come to a team that has no direction, that has expiring contracts this year and next year, that just let go of a head coach, they also have to still pay into next year, and that just seriously does not have a direction out there? Ime Udoka himself called us mid. He said that.
I'd rather coach teams with more high-end, higher ceiling talent like the Detroit Pistons.
Then a mid-level team with an established ceiling. So he called us mid. That's what he did. Well, and also I've heard Becky Hammond say that she obviously wants to pursue a career in the NBA, but it's not going to be for another assistant coach position. And she doesn't want to go to a team like back then, it was 2022, I believe, where she said she doesn't want to work for a team like the Kings and OKC, where it's going to be part of a young crowd.
Saying she shouldn't have to be an assistant. She put her dues in the NBA anyway.
She knows how to coach.
7 or 8 seasons.
Eight seasons as a
part of that is, I think, also because her name has come around the circle so often, and each time it's kind of been passed over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I just don't know. Like the thing with Becky, I think she should have been coaching already. We pointed out the 8 years of assistant work with San Antonio. That was actually after she was a star, you know, with San Antonio Stars a couple of years, you know, as an all-star. Of course, we know what she's done. But I think it's just the fact that I don't know what team's going to pull that trigger. I think that if there is a team, I do believe it might be the Raptors, right? Because Raptors, they're one of those teams that embraces, you know, diversity, has talked about it often, right? Masai Ujiri, he points it out. He loves, you know, getting people who are, you know, from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
He loves getting people from, you know, different ethnicities and different, you know, just ways of life, you know, in having them in the Raptors organization. And obviously having a woman as a head coach would be huge. It would be massive.
Groundbreaking.
Right. So I think if there's anybody, it would obviously be Hammond. I've always talked about Dawn Staley. I just don't think she's going to leave South Carolina. But those would be the two. It would just have to take a team, an owner, you know, and a front office to pull the trigger on that. And I think it could be the Raptors.
I always thought with Becky Hammond that she was going to be the one next in line to take Pop's seat with Sacramento. I always thought that because she was there for so long. She knew the system so well. The players all loved and respected her, right? I always thought that she would be the one next in line to take the Spurs throne. Now, Pop's still there. But again, could that be something, you know, in the next couple of years where Pop goes to the end of the line and, you know, she ends up taking over?
I think that was the general consensus from everybody and it made sense. But then I also think that was also because we heard rumblings of Pod trying to maybe retire and maybe stepping away from the game. But it looks like he's not going to be doing that. And at that point, she's like, I got to go somewhere else and keep my resume moving forward. And to your point too, Jelani, I think that's very fair. And if they're, as they say, as the first woman doing anything anywhere, it's going to be male dominated. You are going to have to be strong. You're going to have to see things that nobody ever wants to see. But I think of all the teams that are out there, the team that will embrace her with open arms will be the Toronto Raptors. And not just the franchise, not just the players. I think even the fan base. I think the fan base in Toronto will be a lot more receptive and open arms with her than a lot of other fan bases out there, because we've seen us. Like, we have a very big mob mentality and we're also a little bit more, I guess, mannered compared to other fan bases. And you can say whatever you want with the Raptors. It's true. The Raptors sometimes are not the greatest fan base. But I've been lit up by the Bucks, by the Celtics, by Philly. And the things that I've seen with other fan bases versus ours is very different in terms of how they react to a woman. And I think that could be a factor where she might be somewhere where something goes a little bit easier for her. It would be the Spurs for me, number one, but the Raptors could easily be that team too.
Also, another big factor in this is players will respect her because she's a Hall of Fame basketball player, right? You cannot question her resume, coaching-wise, playing-wise, anything, right? She has a resume that's better than anybody else on the list right here, right? She is a championship-level coach, Hall of Fame basketball player, spent 8 years in probably one of the most successful organizations in the NBA. What more can you ask for? If she walks into a locker room, she commands respect because she's done it all. She's a champion. She's a Hall of Famer. And you have to respect it. Quite frankly, the Raptors need that type of experience, that type of, you know, person that has that type of that pull in the locker room to get this group.
And the guys on the Spurs, you know, on all those teams, they respected her too, right? Because that was one of the more well-run franchises at the time. And you're talking about what she was able to do. So I definitely don't mind.
Let's look at her with the WNBA. Look at how much she's done with Kelsey Plum, what she's done with Chelsea Gray. Chelsea Gray is her point guard. And when I see her play, I think she's better than probably... She'd all be top 10 in NBA point guards for me because of how amazing she is at passing the ball around and facilitating. And that's what Beckingham is good at. She was a point guard herself when she was playing in college. She understood how to create the offense. We know she can do defense, but her offense is also her specialty. And that's what the Raptors really need. The other guy I do want to mention quickly I do kind of like is also Kenny Atkinson.
That's what I said.
I love how I think he can transform the Raptors' offense. He understands a fast-paced offense. He understands three-point shooting. Coached for the Golden State Warriors. Talk about their offense. Look at what he did with the Brooklyn Nets. They turned their season around, make DeAndre Russell that guy that he is today, and also started Linsanity, helped out with Linsanity's, and he's a good development coach too. So I think that could be something that the Raptors might also be interested in.
I think the one thing is for certain that Masai is going to be taking his time. He's going to take, you know, I think with the Nick Nurse one took about a month or so for them to turn on Nick. So he's going to take his time. This is going to just starting up, so it's going to be a long process, but it should be, you know, rightfully so. They need to really, you know, figure this coaching.
I don't mind Becky Hammon. They want a coach that will change the culture and embrace the Toronto culture. I could see her doing
absolutely
that.
Imagine covering a team run by Becky Hammon. That would be generational.
We're here for it.
That would be amazing. Well, we know the Raptors have cast a very wide net looking for their next head coach. And as we said before, when this Raptors season ended, we will be here covering everything, every rumor out there, every Woj report, and even every Jake Fisher article. We'll make sure to cover it. We'll see you guys next time on Hoop Talks.